So we're going to be starting the Mishnah, Kof Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, two lines at the bottom. Nishai Nasu L'Shei Yisaimis Ketanis. Somebody was married to two Yisaimis Ketanis, meaning they're both rabbinic marriages, the same level rabbinic marriages. So they are totally co-wives. Either they're both 100% or they're both zero. So if they're both zero, they don't need Yibum. If they're both co-wives, one needs Yibum and the other is automatically released. So he died, and the Yavam married the first one, and then married the second one. Now, the second one was illegal, because if they're married 100% to his first brother, you're only allowed to do Yivam to the first one. But the first one was a valid Yivam. So therefore, the second one doesn't affect the marriage of the first one. Let me try to explain. Reuben is married to Rachel and Leah. They're both Ksanas. He died, Shimon did Yibum to Rachel, right? So now, Rachel is Shimon's wife. She's either in 100% Yavama, or she was never married to Reuven, and Shimon is married to her on a new marriage, because, again, it's either 100% or zero. Leah is the same status, so Leah is automatically released. If Shimon goes and lives with Leah, it doesn't affect his marriage to Rachel. He lived with one Yavama, and then he lived with another one. Doesn't affect his marriage to the first one. He's married to Rachel, and that's unaffected by the fact that he also lived with Leah. It would be like living with two adults. Reuben died and had two adult wives, and Shimon lived with one and then lived with the other. Living with the second one would not ban the first one. It would be an issur that he did, but it wouldn't ban the first one. The Yibum was a valid Yibum. Same thing here. Or Shimon lived with one and Levi lived with the other. Again, Levi's living with the second one would not affect Shimon's marriage to the first one because it was either 100% Yibum or none at all, and Leah is released, and living with her has nothing to do with Asmi Rachel. Rashi. No Rashi. Loi Pasul Ashvishai. That's Rashi. Shari Biyas and Shabba. They're the same level. The first one was acquired, she is his wife. But the second one is the Biyaznus. And if she's not acquired, they're both considered Nachrius by him. Ella, as Shalai, Hayu Knuyas, they both weren't married to Reuven. Again, the second one doesn't affect the first one. Either the first one was 100% Yibum or was a new marriage. And the second one doesn't have any effect on it. But the second one is not marriage. No Makruyas happened because maybe they were both Reuven's wives. He's now ushered to marry the second one. So if he married the second one, it's not a valid marriage. It's not a legal marriage. He's legally married to the first one. He's not legally married to the second one. Because she might be a second Yavama. He would have to give her a get, because it might be not a Yavama, but she, again, all the Mishnah is trying to say is he could stay married to the first one. Okay, Beis Charoshes, the same halacha would be, if Reuven was married to two women that were Charoshes, both are the same level rabbinic marriage, both 50% married, he did give them to one, the other one is released. And married, living with the other one will not affect the first one. The first one was a valid Yibum. The second one was a Znus. Therefore, the Yibum to the first one stays. He is married to the Chareshes. And the second one is not a Yibum. He violated an Isser. He lived with her. But she's not a Yibum. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Because basically what it's saying is, if you have two women that are rabbinically married on the same level, one releases the other. And therefore, once the other one is released, living with her will not make a difference. However, Ktana v'Chareshes, what if Reuven was married to a Ktana and a Chareshes? So now, Bo Yavam ala Ktana, so that's either 100% Yibum or 0% Yibum. V'Chazir v'Bo Chareshes, which is a 50% Yibum. Ashabach v'Bo Chareshes, or Levi lived with Chareshes. Shimma lived with one and Levi lived with the other. Pasul as Ktana. Now, this is because of a Gzeira. Really, the Ktana is unaffected. If it was 100% Yibum, then the Chareshes is released. If it was 0% Yibam, you married the Ketana as a new marriage. And again, living with the Chareshes would not affect her. But the Gzeira is because of the next case. Because of Bo Yom al Chareshes, the first he lived with the Chareshes, which was a 50% Yibam. The Chazer of Bo al Ketana, which might be 100% Yibam, that 100% Yibam bans him from living with the 50% Yibam. Because the 50% Yibam did not release the Ketana. And therefore, living with the Ketana was also an act of Yibam. Might be 100% Yibam, and therefore the Chareshes can no longer live with her husband because he did Yibam to her co-wife. And the Ketana can't live with him because he already had done Yibam to the Chareshes. So therefore, they made a Gzeira that if the Ketana is first, we also don't let him stay married. Really, if he married the Ketana first, the Chareshes would not affect the Ketana. Because the Ketana is either 100% or 0%, unaffected by Chareshes, who's 50%. If the Ketana was 100%, it's a Yibam. Chareshes doesn't affect it anymore. If the Ketana was 0%, for sure the Chareshes doesn't affect it. He never did the Ketana's Yibam of the new marriage. But it's a Gzeira. Because if we do the Chareshes first, the Ketana does passel. And therefore, since the Ketana does passel, they made a Gzeira, they said, no matter which one is first, we don't let him stay married. We don't let him remain married either. Rashi, passel is the Ketana mishum Gzeira. No mekadim of all Chareshes bereisha. She might live with the Chareshes first, the Gemara. The Gemara. The Abba gave them a man of Shechishar Yilai. She should be permitted to him. However, she was first. If she was 100%, so he did give him. He loved Knuyahi, not because of Almahi. So why should the Chareshes affect her? But it's a Gzeira. Puzzle of the Chareshes, the Shem of Ketana Knuyah Kula, if the Ketana might be 100%, the Kinyan and the Chareshes Mishiyeres, and the Chareshes is only 50%. So the 100% Yibam puzzles her, who was only a 50% Yibam. Look at the Mishnah Vayta. Bo Yavim HaPikachas V'Chareshes. Reuven was married a biblical wife, regular wife, and a rabbinic wife. The Reuven died, he left over two wives. One is biblically married to him, and one is only rabbinically married to him. So obviously he has to do Yibam to the biblical wife, or Chalitza, because that's the real marriage. The rabbinic marriage doesn't rise in Madrega level to the biblical marriage. So Bo Yavim ala Pikachas, he lived with the regular wife, which is a biblical Yibum, 100%. The Chazar ba'al Chareshes, Ba'achav ala Chareshes. Then Shimon went and lived with the Chareshes, or Levi did. Levi Pasul sa Pikachas. The Pekachas was 100% biblical Yibam. Living with Chareshes was an act of Nus. It wasn't Yibam. She was released already, and she can no longer affect the first lady who was a biblical Yibam. And therefore, he remains married to the Pekachas. And the Chareshes can go and do whatever she wants. She was released. He lived with her. He did Nus. It was his brother's second wife rabbinically. He had no right to do Nus with her. And therefore, he doesn't affect the first one. Bo Yom al Chareshes, the Chazer Baal Pikacha. However, if the other lived with the rabbinic one, that does not release the biblical one. So then when he lives with the biblical one, that's the real Yibum. Then he passes the Chareshes. And over here we did not make Gzeira. We didn't say, since if you live with the Chareshes first, the Pikachas passes, therefore if you live with the Pikachas first, the Chareshes passes. Because by Ketana Chareshes, we were both rabbinic, he made Gzeiras. Over here, one is biblical and one is rabbinic. We're not going to make Gzeira because of the Chareshes is first, which is rabbinic, to the case of Pikachas is first, which is a real biblical evil. Therefore, in the case of the Pikachas, if you married her first, you release the Chareshes, and living with the Chareshes afterwards doesn't do anything. Therefore, there's no Gzeira. But if you live with the Chareshes first, you didn't do the biblical mitzvah you have. The mitzvah is to marry the Pekachas. Therefore, when he lives the Pekachas, that's the Yibum, and it bans the Chareshes, which is only rabbinic. Same thing is true, G'daylu Ketana. Reuven is married to an adult lady and to a Ketana. Again, one biblical, one rabbinic. Ba'yavma l'gdaylu l'chazir ba'al Ketana, sheba'akha ba'al Ketana, l'pasul t'gdaylu. He did Yibum to the biblical wife. That is a total Yibum, a 100% biblical Yibum. And then he lives with the rabbinic wife, it doesn't affect the biblical one. She was released, Now it's a regular znus with a second co-wife, which doesn't answer the first one. However, bo yamum tana, b'chazir bo l'agdayla, so he didn't do the mitzvah. He did a rabbinic mitzvah, but he ignored the biblical mitzvah. Now he did the biblical mitzvah, pasul sagdana. Period. Now, Roger asked me last week, why can't we just tell the tana to do miyun in all these cases? And therefore, there would never be a problem. The guy's married to Tana and Hareshes, and but we said it's a major problem. It's not a problem at all. Let the Tana do Miyun, which is no longer married, and then he only has one wife, the Hareshes. In all these cases where there's a Tana, all headaches can be avoided by telling the Tana to do Miyun. Dr. Gemara, Rabbi Lazar, I remember Lamda Naktana Shim Gemara. You're right. Rabbi Lazar goes back on the whole Mishnah. In all the cases that we have, he's the one that says we tell the Tana to do Miyun. Not everybody agreed to him. Therefore, we had this whole discussion. But Rabbi Lazar himself accepted Roger's solution, which is teach the Tana to do Miyun. She's no longer married. And since she's no longer married, if she absolves the marriage, she removes the marriage as if it never happened. Therefore, the guy only has one wife. The other wife, the Tana is never married to him. She removes it retroactively. That would be the easiest solution, but it only works according to Blazer, who says that we encourage that. Rashi, Blazer, how can you see the Bemasnis and the Bekamais and Rabbi Yezer? Before it said Rabbi Yezer, here it says Rabbi Blazer. Okay, I'm going to prepare time with the Nidab. Lamed in the Sartana, she's a born boy. The Taker Nisueha, it uproots her marriage as if it never happened. The Yekayim is Hagdala, and you'll keep the Gdala. Finish the Vayter. Good Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Halacha Kreb Lazer. We paskin that we advise people to do Miyun. V'chein Amar Rabbi Lazer, Halacha Kreb Lazer. Utsicha. Now, back in the Mishnah a number of years ago, which was a Daf Kuf Tes, we had Rabbi Lazar's opinion, there it was known as Rabbi Eliezer. They changed it to Rabbi Lazar on the side. And over there, we also paskin like Rabbi Lazar. And that was the case of a guy who had died, somebody married to Agdayla and Aktana, and two brothers, one married to Agdayla and one married to Aktana. And the husband of the Agdayla died. And now she falls to Yibum, to the husband of the Tana. There's a biblical Yibum and a rabbinic mitzvah and a rabbinic wife. So Blazer said to do Miyun, and we paskin like him there as well. The Gemara wants to know, if we paskin like him over there, why is it necessary over here to repeat the dialogue like Blazer? Again, it's the same idea. When we have a problem, do Miyun. Why do we have to repeat that we paskin in that case? And we paskin in this case. Paskin in that case, and again, let me set that case up. Reuven is married to Agdayla, Shimon is married to Tana. Reuven dies. Shimon now has a problem. He has a biblical mitzvah of Yibum to Reuven's wife, and he has a rabbinic wife, that's the Yivama's sister. So Blazer says, no problem, let her do Miyun, and then he can do Yibum. Right? That's what he said over there. Over here, he talked about the person that's married to two wives, Agdayla and Tana. And he says, you can take away the problem, let the Tana do Yibum, let the Tana do Miyun, and therefore there would be no problem. So the question is, why do we have to paskin like him in both cases? It's the very same idea, that if you had the Tana do Yibum, you can alleviate all problems. Why is it necessary to repeat it twice? And I have to do this twice. If it would say it in the case before, right, when we had two sisters, one Gdayla, one Tana, married to two brothers, I would say, there it's different. Their pshat is, he didn't do the mitzvah of Yibum. Right? He didn't do the mitzvah of Yibum, and therefore we encourage the Tana to do Miyun, so he should be able to fulfill his mitzvah of Yibum. Again, the story was, Reuven was married to a Gdayla, Shimon is married to a Ktana, Reuven died, there's a biblical mitzvah of Yibum that's incumbent on Shimon, he's married to the wife's sister, to the woman's sister, rabbinically. So Rav says, we want the mitzvah of Yibum, therefore we encourage the Ktana to do Miyun, that uproots the marriage, that means Shimon was never married to the woman's sister, and he can do Yibum. But over here, what happened was, he did Yibum to the Ktana and then to the Gdayla. But as it says, we can alleviate the problem by the Ktana doing Mir now, and he can stay married to the Gdayla. That's what Blazer says, right? Now, here he did the mitzvah of Yibum. He did the mitzvah of Yibum to the Ktana, and he did the mitzvah of Yibum to the Gdayla. Now, maybe here he should divorce both. He did the mitzvah. By encouraging the Ktana to do Mir now, you're not doing a mitzvah, you're just preserving that he can stay married to the Gdayla. Again, Reuven was married to a Gdayla and a Ktana, and Shimon went and did Yibum to the Ktana first, and then to the Gdayla. So he can't stay married to the Ktana, but the Mishnah said that he's apostle, meaning the Gdayla apostle to Ktana. Seemingly, simply, he can't stay married to the Gdayla either, because he was married to the Ktana, so it's like you can give him to two wives. You can't do that. But Rebbe gives the solution. Let the Ktana do Mia now, after the Yibum, and then he was never married to her, and then he can do stay married to the Gdayla. But it's not preserving a mitzvah. The mitzvah was done. It's preserving a marriage. It's not preserving that he can do a mitzvah. So maybe we pass it like Rebbe said that we encourage Mian when Mian is going to enable a mitzvah. But when Mian is not going to enable a mitzvah, it's just going to keep a marriage going, maybe Rav Elazar would not say. Maybe we wouldn't paskin like him. So therefore, Shmuel has to say over here, Abahadi Kayim mitzvah Yibum Kisivim with both of them. Maybe we shouldn't encourage Mian so he can stay married to one of them. The mitzvah is done. There's no reason for us to encourage Mian. That's what you would say. We have to say, no, I paskin like Rav Elazar, encourage Mian. But over here, I would say the opposite, meaning over here, the Gdayla is waiting for Yibum, biblically, right? And really, the Ktana, he shouldn't have done Yibum to the Ktana. So therefore, we're interested in having the Mian of the Ktana out of the way so the Gdayla can stay married to him, which was his biblical mitzvah. Whereas there, she was his wife's sister. Granted, it was his rabbinic wife, but the bottom line is she was a rabbinic erva. Maybe we don't encourage Mian to remove a rabbinic erva. Maybe we encourage Mian when nobody's an erva. The question is, he married two of the wives. We can remove one, and he can stay married to the other. There, we're encouraging Mian to remove a rabbinic erva. Maybe there we wouldn't paskin that we encourage Mian to remove an erva. So therefore, that's why in both cases we have to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Elazar that we encourage Mian. In one case, we encourage Mian to remove a rabbinic erva to Yibum. In the other case, we encourage Yibum to remove the marriage to the Ktana, and therefore he can stay married to the Gdayla that he was Miyabim already. It's to preserve a marriage. The Yibum was done. It's just that now he can't stay married because he married both of Reuven's wives. But by doing Mian, we preserve a marriage. We're not getting a mitzvah of Yibum that was done already, but we're preserving a marriage. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, V'amar Ablazim, Chenam Ablazim ben Pidas, Zamay Rabbi, Zamay, Alokha Kurfi Yezid, who Ablazim ben Shamua. Now Rashi seems to learn that last Mishnah was Rabbi Eliezer.
Rabbi?
And this Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar. And they both said the same concept in different cases. That's how Rashi seems to learn. On the side of the Mishnah that Kuftes, it switched Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Elazar. So both of the Mishnahs are Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. Rashi seemed to say in the Mishnah that here it's Rabbi Elazar, and there it was Rabbi Eliezer. So Rashi seems to say it was two different people who offered the solution in two different cases. And therefore we have to postulate like both, because one would not indicate the other. Rashi, v'tzricha l'shmuv r'ablazim v'bedas l'meim r'b'mayis halachik r'b'liyazer, v'bohanami halachik r'b'lazer. This is Rashi. telling you. There they had to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, and here they had to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Because, right, the Tavayim Melamdim Takanim Lamot, that in both cases, when you get involved, it encourages the Tavayim and the Zumiyah. The Ibrahim and Kamaisi got the Achyas dedicated to the sisters. From that Kati Lemekai Mitzvah. In that case, he has not done that. Mitzvah, right? Hilkach Melamdim is Aktana Ishtar Lamoim. So we teach the Tavayim to Dumiyah, with the Siyabim Leventai. Avabaha, the Kaya Mitzvah Bishtayim, they both have the Mitzvah. Amel Loyamr Shmu Halacha Kribalazer. Shmu did not say that Halacha is like Kribalazer. Ali Yaitzi stay in the get. He divorced both of them with a get. Viashmina Baha, Shmu did Gaila Ramya Kame, the Yehumi. The older one falls with Yibam. Shmuakim Abhina and Amin of the Ktana. That's why we look for the mean of the Ktana, Nation Tishabim Gaila, that the Gaila should do Yibam. Abala Idach Bahi the Akhil Gdailas, the Gaila Chais Ishtahi. In the case of the sister, where the Gaila is Chais Ishtahi, namely Loi Ramya Kame, we would say that she never fell to him. Granted, we have a mitzvah Yibam biblically, but she's a rabbinic erva, so maybe we wouldn't get involved. Therefore, Tzricha, we need both cases. Subdivisionalite. Yavim Katan. Can everybody hear me? Because it's been very quiet, so I don't know whether people are hearing me or not.
You hear us now?
Yeah.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay,
what Isser are we making Xera for, Rebbe? The Isser of Shtei Batim?
Can't hear you.
What is the Isser that we're making the Xera by the Shtei Batim? The Isser of Shtei Batim?
Yeah.
So why not by two Ketanas? Why is there no Isser and make Xera there? Atu Gedayla.
Let me explain something. Let's go back to regular case. Reuven's married to two regular wives. Right? And he does Zibum to one, and then he's Mizana with the other. Does the first one become Usher?
No.
Why not?
Because it's not an Erva, it's just an Isser.
Okay.
Eishes Ach, you mean?
What?
Is there an Eishes Ach that kicks in here?
It's a Machoikis. That's not the point. But either way, it's living with your wife's co-wife, previous co-wife, which is an Isser, but it doesn't affect the 100% Yibum that was done to your first one that you lived with. When Shimon did Yibum with Rachel, she's his 100% wife. So why should living with another lady ban her?
Oh, so I mean, is there, so what, so where is the, so by the Hareshes and the Ketana, what's the Gzera there?
The problem is, when you did Yibum to the Hareshes, when the guy did Yibum to the Hareshes, he only did a 50% Yibum. And then he lived with the Ketana, which might be 100% Yibum. And that's a Yibum. Therefore, it bans the Hareshes.
You mean, oh, because the second Bia might have been the real Yibum, and now
exactly.
He's living with his first.
The first one was a Yibum, but only a 50%. The second one might be 100%, which is a stronger Yibum.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Rebbe?
I'm listening.
Good answer.
Yeah.
In the case that we just had in the Gemara, why do we say if he marries the Ketana first, if he does Yibum with the Ketana first, that it's still considered, it's still a Yibum and a marriage worth preserving by the second one? It's only a suffix Yibum.
Yeah, in that case, he married the Ketana first and then married whom?
Gdola.
So he then married the Ketana first and then the Gdola. So the Gzaila is 100% Yibum. The Tana is only rabbinic Yibum.
Tana might be 100% also.
Only rabbinically. The Tana can't be biblical. Even rabbinically, we're not sure whether it's 100% or zero, but it's for sure not biblical. Even if it's 100%,
so he still has a biblical mitzvah of Yibum to do. To he could give her chalitza, though, right?
Again. But he went and lived with the second one. He did it.
Right, but we would tell him that he did the wrong thing, right?
Well, not if we get the Tzana to do Mian.
Right, but I mean, what he should have done is chalitza with the gedola.
Fight Yibum over chalitza. In this man the Amar, at least, fight Yibum over chalitza. But it doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is he did Yibum with the second one. Are we going to try to preserve that marriage? Because rabbinically he married two of them. You can't be married to two of them. And you can't be married to any one that you did Yibum to the other.
My question is, why are we interested in preserving a marriage that shouldn't have ever happened?
It was a biblical mitzvah of Yibum. The guy did a biblical mitzvah of Yibum.
He did also a rabbinic avera.
Possible rabbinic avera. Had to give the Tana 100 to 0. Why shouldn't we preserve the marriage? He did a biblical mitzvah. If we can. If we can't, you're right. If we can't preserve it, you can't preserve it. But over here, there's a solution to preserve it.
Here.
Okay, Mishnah. Yavam Katan Shabbat Yavam Ktana. A Yavam Katan that lived with the Yavam that the Ktana. Yigdavu Zamza. They can continue living with each other. Rashi. Yigdavu Zamza. Zimbol Ligar Shein Yahu Achi Abdo. The get Katan ain't a get. The get of a Katan is not a get. Because he can't divorce her. Because he's a cotton. Now, over here there's a machloikas mishainim. How to learn this Mishnah. And it's going to make a difference throughout the Mishnah. Rashi sheet in Kedushin is that a yavam cotton does yibum. It's a biblical yibum. And therefore, it's a biblical yibum. And really, he has done the mitzvah of Yibum. If he wants to get rid of her now, he can't get rid of her until she becomes a Gdaila, because he's biblically married to her, and a biblical marriage cannot be canceled by anything else but a biblical divorce. A biblical divorce can't be given till she's a Gdaila. That's how Rashi learns the Mishnah. Taisus learns that Yavam Katan cannot do a biblical Yibum, can only do, his Yibum is like a minor, considered like a minor. And what happens is, when they become 13 and she becomes 12, right, at that point he either does Yibum or does Chalitza. What he did was a minor. He would need to give a get for his minor and a chalitza. So either way, the solution will be get a chalitza. According to Rashi, he did a biblical yibum. He only has to give a get biblically. He might give chalitza rabbinically. We'll see that as we go along. But the biblical thing is a get. According to Taisus, the biblical thing is the chalitza, because the yibum of the katan really didn't count. Really didn't count. It's like a mimer. So pick your choice. I think we'll learn like Rashi, because we like to learn like Rashi. So we'll learn like Rashi that this Mishnah holds that Yibum of a Katan is a real Yibum. Again, it is a Machlokes Rishonim. Most Rishonim disagree with Rashi. We had a Rashi earlier in Yevamah that seemed to contradict the Rashi in Kedushin. That seemed to say that it's only a Mimer. But over here, we'll learn like Rashi in Kedushin. It's the simplest shot in the Mishnah that the Yavam of the Katan is considered a Yibum, a biblical Yibum, and therefore, biblically speaking, she needs a get, which cannot be given until after he turns 13. And at that point, he can force her. That is the Mishnah. Ba Yavama Gedaila. What if the Katan married a Yavama that's Gedaila? Again, Tigadlenu. She would have to raise him, which means he can't divorce her till after he becomes a Gadol. She's already a Gedaila. She has to let him grow up. Tigadlenu, I think she means, how does the article translate it? She raises him? What's the article's translation, Tigadlenu?
Exactly, that she raises him to adulthood.
She raises him. Okay. Zavti Mishnah Vayter. Now the Mishnah goes into a whole different problem. Hayavama sha'amra b'tayach shalishim yayin le'nevalti. Hayavama, during the first 30 days after her husband died, after her husband, he did Yibum. The Yavam invited the Yavama to his house. They moved in together and ostensibly did Yibum. It has to be at least 90 days after the death of the husband, because we have to make sure she's not pregnant. But anyway, that 90 days passed. They did Yibum officially, which means they moved into a house. She comes to bed and she says, listen, I moved into his house, but he hasn't done Yibum. He hasn't lived with me. And I want out. I want Chalitza. And the man is saying, I lived with her. If she wants out, I give her a get. Now, I'm not giving Chalitza. I lived with her. And it's within the 30 days of them moving in together. We force the Chalitza because it is possible, it is enough of a possibility, even though not a probability, that men do not can live with a woman for up to 30 days and not live with them. And therefore, if she says he didn't live with me, we have a basis for her taina, enough of a basis that we have to act upon it. And therefore we say that we force him to give Chalitza in order that she should be able to get married, because she's claiming the get won't do the trick. And the Gemara will give us the details of exactly how this works. Rashi, Hayavam Shamba Batakshlash Mem Shakun Sayavam, Rainavalti Layavam, the get Yavam and Yaitim Itakas Yadam. So Rashi is bothered, forced them to do Yibam. So instead of forcing Chalitza, tell the lady, listen, okay, we'll tell your Yavam to go live with you. We're telling him to give Chalitza. Why? Let him say, listen, you moved in with him. You're claiming he hasn't lived with you yet? We'll tell him that he has to live with you. Why are we getting involved, by the way, with Chalitza? Dr. Rashi, because she has a get. And she's claiming this get is a get that a Yavam writes to Yavama before they consummate their marriage. It's a rabbinic get. She still needs Chalitza. He's claiming he lived with her, and I gave her a get, and this get is a get to the marriage. I don't have to do anything anymore. So this is the story, right? The guy moved in with her. She claims never consummated it. That means, biblically speaking, she's not his wife. She has a get, but to her, this get is just that he's not planning to do Yibum ever, and he's going to give her Chalitza. And he's claiming, I lived with her, I'm giving her a get, and she was my wife, and I'm divorcing her as a husband divorces a wife, and I don't need to do Chalitza. She's demanding Chalitza. She no longer can have Yibum. It's not an option. And he is refusing Chalitza. He's claiming, I divorced her after I did Yibum, and therefore she's my wife, and I'm finished. I lived with you. The Dayach Beget. She has a basis to her taina, because in human behavior, up to 30 days, people can control themselves being with a woman and not living with her. Therefore, she has a right to claim. We accept her claim that he couldn't, maybe didn't live with her. We're not sure. But enough so to demand that he give her chalitza so this poor lady can get married. If she comes to us past 30 days and she says he didn't live with me, we say human nature tells us that he overwhelmingly probably lived with you. Because even men that can control themselves, not more than 30 days. And therefore, he probably did live with you. You are divorced. Now you have a problem because you can't get married because you said you're still usher. That's called Shabia Nafshi Chaticha Di Yitzura. She made herself usher. We don't believe her. But for herself, she claims, I'm still your mom, I can't get married. We can't force him to give chalitza because we really believe that he did live with her. We can't tell her you're wrong because she's claiming he didn't. I know the fact. So as far as she's concerned, she has to live like he never lived with her. As far as we're concerned, we can't believe her. Therefore, we say to him, if you want to do her a favor, give her chalitza that will release her. We can't force you because we agree with you that you lived with her. But on the other hand, she's in a very hard predicament. So we'll beg you, please give her chalitza. During the 30 days, we'll force the guy to give chalitza because we really have a basis to her claim. Because there are a group of men, even though not right, but there is significant amount of men that will not live with a woman they don't really know because it's not their wife. And it's just a strange woman, right? Unlike marriage where a relationship builds over time, Yibum did not build over time, right? They didn't have an Arison stage. They didn't have a stage where they got close to each other. He moves in with his brother's wife, who really doesn't know. It's possible that men control themselves the first 30 days till they feel comfortable with her. But past 30 days, he wouldn't stay with her unless he lived with her. It's just what people do. That was the custom. That was the assumption in those days. So during the first 30 days, we're willing to accept her claim, enough so that we're going to force him to do chalitza. He can't do yibum anymore because he did give her a get. And by after 30 days, we'll say that the overwhelming statistic is that he did live with her. We don't believe her, but she made problems for herself. Therefore, we'll beg him to do us a favor and give chalitza.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Would this presumption change if he already had a wife?
I'm sorry?
Would this assumption about 30 days, most men would not control themselves more than that, change if he already had a wife? He was married, and then he took her as a second wife in Yibum. So he was not, he's not abstaining from relations. He was just having relations with his wife, his initial wife.
The Gemara doesn't mention a difference like that. I guess the Gemara's assumption is, there was a guy that moved his sister-in-law into his house in order to do Yibum. That was the purpose. Right? So there's a get-to-know-each-other period. But once that get-to-know-each-other period is there, there's no reason to assume that he didn't carry out what his idea was, what he was doing to begin with. Listen, he didn't take her into his house to be in his house, not to do Yibum. He could have done Chalitza right away. He obviously took her into his house to do Yibum. He then gave her a get. She's claiming he never got to the point that he had a relationship, and he gave me a get saying he doesn't want to do Yibum anymore. Fine, so he let him do Chalitza. He's claiming, listen, I did live with her, I did my mitzvah, and I'm out. So in the first 30 days, give her and say, give her Chalitza. And after that, we say, he's had you around in his house for over 30 days. It's hard to believe that the man had you over 30 days in his house and he didn't live with you.
A marriage through Yibum, he has the same mitzvah to have relations with this second wife or any wife. He has the same mitzvah as he would with a standard marriage.
Well, he has a mitzvah to do Yibum. It's even a stronger mitzvah.
No, I mean once Yibum is done. The marriage is a marriage, is what I'm asking. It's like any other marriage with all the requirements and mitzvahs associated with the marriage.
Any other marriage, correct.
Okay.
And honestly, there was a question about that back I believe in the third parak, it might have been in the fourth parak, that the Yavam have a chiyuv ayna to his Yavama. Pashtus, yes, yeah. Simply put, yes. There was a shita there that said that it's a nice thing, but he's not obligated, something to that effect. It was, Bar there talked about four brothers dying without kids. To the same person who he booked, took more than four wives. So the Gemara used the terminology there. We don't want him doing Yibam to more than four wives. We want each of them to have one Aina a month. And the question there was, he's obligated to give each wife an Aina a week. So what do you mean, at least one Aina a month? So some, I don't remember all the answers there. One of the answers there was that a person doesn't have the same obligation to his Yavama as he has to his wife. And therefore, he usually would, but if he has multiple Yavamas, he's going to take turns, and therefore we don't want her to be less than once a month. That was one of the answers there, but there were other answers there as well, and I don't remember. Okay. So now, right, Rashi, Lacha Lamajain, right, Rashi said, I'm quoting the Bach, Loi Nevalti, Voi Mevaltich, who never he's believed, Loi Mukim Inesh Anapshim in the vote. Because that person does not hold himself back from living with a woman after 30 days. It's a get to know you period. But that get to know you period is over after 30 days. But she can't get married. She made herself usher. We ask. We don't force, because actually he did live with her. Right. A woman that Asher's Hanna from her Yavama in the lifetime of her husband. Okay, she's married to her husband. They have no children. You know, but she can be married for who knows how many years. She hates her brother-in-law. And she says, I banned myself from ever having pleasure for my brother-in-law. And then her husband died. Now, she made that netter before Yibam was on the table. Right. Now, the Gemara is going to talk about the fact that she should have thought it might happen, but the bottom line is she did it while her husband was still alive, and therefore, Yibam was not on the table at that point, and then her husband died. What if Yibam was on the table, and she decides she doesn't want to marry this guy, but she doesn't have a good reason, so she's not going to get that on her side, so she makes a nether that she can't have pleasure from it. So we say to her, sorry, lady, we'll ask him to do you a favor, but we're not going to force him, because you did the wrong thing. You should not have made this nether. Why did you do this? You put yourself into this predicament. We're not going to extract you from it. However, we know her intention during the lifetime of her husband was to make sure that Yibam never happens. If we know her intention was that she made this nether because she never wants to end up with him, so even during the lifetime of her husband, we would only ask her to do Yibam Chalitza, him to do Chalitza. We would not force him. Listen, you can't do this, lady. You can't put yourself in a position that you're not allowing the mitzvah of the Torah to happen. Now, if you have a legitimate reason, come to Beth and they'll help you. But if you don't have a legitimate reason, you just don't like the guy, that's not a legitimate reason. Hate to break the news to you, you can't do this. Rashi. She did not have kavana to pater herself in Menu Lacha Mises Baila. They just didn't get along. There was no, she was angry at him for something. She wasn't thinking evil. She was thinking, I don't want anything to do with my brother-in-law. I don't want to have anything to do with him. I don't want to see him. No Hanukkah party. Nothing. I don't want to have anything to do with him. So then, who forced her to do Kalitza, him to do Kalitza? Because that nether was not to avoid the mitzvah of Yibum. She wasn't thinking Yibum. However, if she does it because of Yibum, then we're not happy with her. And we say, sorry, lady, unless you can persuade Beth a good reason of why you can't do Yibum, we're going to make you do Yibum. Fine. We'll stop here. I mentioned tomorrow morning I'll be back, and I think that's the end of my travelings for a while. At least that's what it seems. Okay, everybody should have a wonderful day.
Thank you.